Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Actually, it's not Mike Crute. Matt Rothschild. I'm the executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, subbing in here for Crudy and Dom on this beautiful afternoon in Wisconsin. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates and Civic Media. We've been talking about the big news of the day, the Dominion Fox settlement, and we'll take your calls after, 15 or 20 minutes on that. But before we get back to your calls, I wanted to bring into the conversation the minority leader in the Senate, the state Senate of Wisconsin, Leader Melissa Agard. Leader Agard, it's nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Matt, for inviting me to join you today. It's exciting to have you hosting the show.
Oh, I'm having fun doing it. Me and Evan are having a gas here. I haven't had an opportunity to talk to you except at Ancora Coffee downtown, where I think everybody in media and politics shows up for a cup of coffee in the morning, but that was brief. And I just want to know how you've been doing since you became minority leader.
It's been a wild ride. Certainly, there's an awful lot of work to do in Wisconsin to restore our democracy. And it is a real privilege to be able to be at the helm of the Senate Democrats and the good work that we're doing representing the people all across the state.
Yeah, you've been doing a terrific job from what I can see. I do want to bounce a question off you that I have been getting since the exciting election of Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz, and that is people on the progressive and Democratic Party side have been freaking out about the possibility of an impeachment because there's a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate where you work. How do you address that yourself?
Yeah, so, we came so close. We had a special election in Senate District 8 after Alberta Darling resigned early from her position. And Jody Habersinkin ran amazing campaign in a seat that is intentionally gerrymandered to be a plus 10 Republican district. And we got within 1.5%. So clearly closed the gap, broke the gerrymander, but didn't get there quite enough. It is true that the way things stand in the state of Wisconsin, in order for an impeachment to take place, a simple majority vote in the assembly would start that process, and a two-thirds vote in the Senate would. And it is also true that Dan Knoedl, who won that special election, played his hand and said during the campaign, the quiet parts out loud. He's creating a list of who it is that he would like to impeach as a new member of the Wisconsin State Senate. But shortly after that election, Senate Leader Devin Lemieux, Republican Majority Leader, did say very strongly, this is not in the plan. We don't intend to do this. And at this point, Devin has been pretty clear about what his priorities are and what it is that he wants to move forward. And I'm hopeful that his word means something here, and we don't see the actions in Tennessee happening here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I sure hope not. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm speaking with Minority Leader Senator Melissa Agard. I'm not usually called naive, but I don't think every Republican state senator would go along with a frivolous impeachment effort, even if they tried. So I just think people should celebrate the victory of Janet Protasiewicz, not lose sleep over this mathematical possibility, and continue to do the work to change the legislature into a pro-democracy, a more pro-democracy body. You mentioned gerrymandering, Melissa Agard. Now, with this new court, do you think we're going to be able to get fairer maps?
So a group called Law Forward has already tipped their hat and said that in August, after Justice-elect Protasiewicz is seated on the Supreme Court, that they plan on bringing a case forward. And I am grateful that they're planning on bringing that case forward, because I think that is the first step that we need to take in the state of Wisconsin to restore democracy and actually make sure that we're able to move things forward that matter to the ordinary people of our great state. So stay tuned. Unfortunately, as with most elections, today was the day that our local elected officials who were on the ballot were sworn in. But our Supreme Court justice won't be seated until August. And after that, I anticipate that we will have a lawsuit go before the Supreme Court to argue that our maps in Wisconsin are unfair, that our legislature is choosing their constituents as opposed to the good people of Wisconsin choosing their elected officials. And that with that, we will be able to have more fair maps and more relevance at the table representing what it is that the people of our state want us to take up as opposed to special interest groups.
And that's the basic point, that if we had fairer maps, we'd have more competitive districts, we'd have a legislative body that actually responds to the will of the people instead of smothers the will of the people, because that's what's been happening here with these gerrymandered maps over the last 12 years. What the people want, the people don't get. I mean, people want an increase in minimum wage, want more spending on public education. They want Medicaid funding. They want legalizing marijuana, which has been one of your big issues. And they want fair maps. And on issue after issue after issue, we just haven't been getting what we want. And that tells you that our democracy is not working the way it's supposed to. Senator Agar, talk a little bit about this courageous effort you've been leading for years and years now to legalize marijuana. And where does it stand?
Well, happy 420 week. To all those that are listening, we know that, there's a lot of excitement around 420 and look forward to eventually being a state where people can legally celebrate 420. I first put out a bill to legalize cannabis in Wisconsin for responsible adult usage my freshman term in the state legislature as an assembly member. And it's been over a decade that I've been talking about this. I know that it's the right thing for Wisconsin, and that we are a state where my tagline runs true. The most dangerous thing about cannabis in the state is that it is illegal, and that legalizing cannabis in Wisconsin is a gateway to opportunity, prosperity, and increased safety. So we're going to continue these conversations. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's going to be a matter of when, and the details of that policy are really important. Making sure that we're addressing racial disparities, that we are providing people access to a plant that provides medicinal relief to them, that we're honoring our agricultural heritage, that people's personal liberties are being valued, and that we also have money coming into our state that we can invest in AODA treatment, mental health support, fill in the damn potholes, you name it. At this point, we have millions of dollars going over our borders into other states, as well as a very successful illicit market in the state of Wisconsin. So we're not talking about introducing a new substance. We're talking about making sure that a regularly used plant is regulated in a way that provides safety for the people in our community.
And so what's the obstacle there, especially when you make such a strong economic argument for it? You would think Republicans, who claim to be so fiscally concerned all the time, would recognize that there's a strong fiscal argument on this.
Yeah, I frankly, depending on who it is that you're talking to, they're going to give you a different answer. In the Capitol building, there's not one consistent answer. If we were able to get that consistent answer, I very much believe that we would be able to overcome that obstacle and we'd be able to pass the bill. So the stirring of chaos by the Republicans and having different reasons why different people don't agree with it makes it harder for us to cross that finish line. But ultimately, I believe very strongly that the folks in the Capitol building, there's a small handful of them that are standing in our way. that they are suffering from misinformation, old information, and reefer madness. And, you know, we just need to continue beating the drum, providing the truth, and knowing that we are on the right side with this one.
Oh, I love that. The stirring of chaos. That seems to be the bumper sticker of the Republican Party nationally and here in Wisconsin. And, yeah, this kind of 1955 propaganda that has seeped into some of their brains there on marijuana is ludicrous. What can you hope to get done being in the minority in the state Senate, Melissa Agard?
Yeah, so, you know, I have that conversation with myself and my constituents and the people that work with me in the Capitol building nearly every day. I think being a member of the minority party in the Capitol is exhausting, and it is a lot of work. But we also know that we are representing the voices and the values, the morals of the majority of the people in the state of Wisconsin. So the word minority is a bit of a misnomer. So I think it is vitally important that we continue listening to one another, lifting each other up, removing barriers, cheering on Law Forward as they address the gerrymandering in the Capitol building, but also right here and now, being more compassionate to one another and not losing hope about what it is that we can do when we bring ourselves together as opposed to you know, infighting. And I think we're seeing the results of infighting right now with the Republican Party, not only in Wisconsin, but nationally. They used to be very disciplined, but it appears that discipline is melting away as the election results in November with the reelection of Governor Evers and Attorney General Call, as well as the overwhelming election in this April in Wisconsin with the Supreme Court race. We know we're on the right side, and we need to continue to keep our eye on the prize and make sure that when things are more fair and balanced in the state of Wisconsin, that we have each other's backs and that we're moving together with thought and compassion.
Senator Melissa Agard, I'm so glad you are there in the state Senate. As the minority leader, you're representing the majority of the people of Wisconsin, and you're doing it with a positive attitude and a lot of class, and that goes a long way. So thanks so much for your service. We'll be right back with your calls about the legislature or about the Dominion Fox case. Whatever you want to talk about, I'm here to answer your calls. I'm the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Hey friends, Matt Rothschild here with the Devil's Advocates. Dom and Crute are away, so Mike Crute gave me a desperate call late last week and asked me if I could sub in for him, and I said, sure, I'd love to. I love being on the Devil's Advocates. I love being on Civic Media. I think Civic Media is a huge force for good. Along with Law Forward, as Senator Melissa Agard mentioned in the last bit. And thanks for coming on, Senator. She's a terrific leader. But yeah, these are Law Forward and Civic Media are the two biggest pro-democracy changes that I've seen in Wisconsin over the last 10 years that give me hope for the future of our democracy here in Wisconsin. And also the great grassroots work that so many people are doing all over the state. We saw that yield its fruit in the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. I want to return to the big news story of the day, and I want to get your reaction to it. So this is the story about Fox and Dominion settling their lawsuit. If you didn't hear the news, they've settled. They've settled for a pretty tidy sum, $787,500,000. What do you make of this settlement? The phone number to call is 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. I wish they hadn't settled. I wished that Dominion would have taken it to trial and gotten more money and maybe crippled Fox News, because that's what they deserve. And let me read a little bit more about the settlement. Fox News anchors won't have to acknowledge on air that it told election lies about Dominion as part of it, the terms of its settlement. Here's another huge gain that Murdoch and Fox got out of this settlement. They got their liability covered or put a ceiling on it at $750 million and change. And they don't have to go on air and abjectly apologize to everybody who's been listening to them, who they've been feeding lies to all these months and months and years and years. So I kind of wish the lawyers on the Dominion side would have done a little better job in demanding some actual acknowledgement by the people on Fox News who were doing the lying. Instead, they'd get away. Now, the Dominion CEO says Fox has admitted to telling lies. Fox and Dominion have reached a historic settlement, they say. Fox has admitted to telling lies about Dominion that caused enormous damage to my company, the CEO says, our employees and our customers. But look, they've done more than that. They've caused enormous damage to our democracy. And I think that's the larger point that the Dominion lawyers are missing in this case. They could have made an example of Fox. They could have taken Fox down with huge punitive damages for this slander of this company that happened repeatedly, more than 20 times, according to some of the court documents. And instead, they settled for a huge chunk of change. And while I suppose you can't blame them for settling for a lot more money than the company's worth, there are bigger things, more important things than money. And also, I don't think they played their hand well. They had a tremendous hand. They had Fox against the wall here. And rather than getting, the pound of flesh that they deserved and we deserved, and the settlement that we all deserved, which was having the Fox anchors go in front of that camera tonight and tell us tonight that they lied over and over and over again about what happened in November 2020. Admit that Biden is the legitimate president of the United States. Admit that Donald Trump told lie after lie after lie. Admit that they opened their airwaves to liars, congenital liars like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and Mike Lindell. And that would be a real apology. We're not even getting an apology on air from any of these jokers. And so they're skating away, not exactly scot-free. They're having to pay $787,500,000 for their lies, but they're not having to pay for the damage to our democracy, only the damage to Dominion. And we need accountability for their damage to our democracy. Maybe we'll get it from another company that's suing them. Maybe we'll get it from Dominion suing some of the folks who actually slandered them on the air because the lawyers for Dominion said the game's not up. But I want more accountability. What do you want? I want you to call me and tell me what you think about this settlement. The phone number is 844-967-2789. I also want you to hang on after the break because we're going to have Representative Francesca Hong, the great advocate for racial and economic and social justice here in the State Assembly from the Madison area. She'll be joining us after the half-hour break. But please call now and tell me what you think about this settlement, 844-967-2789. Fox came up with a statement saying, yes, some of the statements we aired were false, but that's pretty much the extent of them eating crow. It was more like them eating a little sparrow.
And even then, yeah, they eked out of it. The judge ruled.
Right. It wasn't that they said we screwed up.
The judge
ruled that we screwed up, that we told lies, so we'll accept that. You know, that's mighty big of you. I mean, that's hardly a full-throated, red-eared apology. Quite the contrary. It was just getting off as easy as they could. I mean, they took the monetary hit and they're moving on. They're not having to apologize in any serious way. And they're not having to apologize tonight on air. I mean, Tucker Carlson must be chortling. It's a good day for Dominion, not a great day for our democracy. It's some accountability. I've just been so eager for more accountability, though. More accountability for Fox, more accountability for Trump, more accountability for the false electors. I can't wait for that accountability to come, and I know you, the listener, are concerned about that accountability as well. We're going to get that accountability before we're done here. This year, I think we're going to get it before July 4th. I'm predicting Merrick Garland Day on July 4th. What an appropriate time to drop a huge indictment on Donald Trump. We'll come back after the break with Representative Francesca Hong and with your calls at 844-967-2789. This is The Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years.
Ooh, a little Jackson Brown coming through. Hey, it's Matt Rothschild. I'm the executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I'm subbing in here for Crudy and Dom, who are both off. Dom, I believe, is in Europe, and Crudy is at a broadcasting conference. And so he gave me the call last week, and I like to answer the call when Crudy wants me to sub in for him. It's always an honor to be on The Devil's Advocates and an honor to be on Civic Media, which is now being heard all across Wisconsin. What an amazing job everybody at Civic Media, including Evan, my great engineer, is doing at this station. It's an incredible outfit, Civic Media. If you don't know about it, you should go Google Civic Media. Now I am blessed to have on the phone the great representative here in Madison, Representative Francesca Hong, a real champion of economic, social, racial justice. Rep Hong, thanks for coming on the show with me.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me, Matt. And, yes, big shout-out to Evan and to the entire team at Civic Media. Y'all are really doing the thing.
They sure are, and you're not a stranger to the station here. You used to have a show yourself, which I'd like to listen to on the weekend mornings. And I hope you'll be able to come back at some point and do a show. But you got more important things to do. You're in the legislature, and I imagine you're getting a headache. I would get a headache in there banging my head against the wall because it's so dominated by Republicans because of the rigged maps. So how do you keep going in there?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and my answer is really I have great hope in our young people and our youth. And I will say in the last couple of weeks, the amount of advocacy work, organizing, lobbying that youth leaders have been doing, demanding that legislators and people in power meet the needs of our time with urgency like they are when it comes to addressing gun violence, racial equity, making sure we have healthy meals in school. I mean, the kids are all right. And whenever I am, as you mentioned before, banging my head against the wall because we're debating things like potentially, you know, restricting the use of gas-powered vehicles instead of fighting for working families. I know that our youth are here, and they're all right, and they're going to help make sure that we build a better world.
And we saw the power of young people in the election of Justice Protasiewicz. Amazing turnouts by young people. Campus turnouts doubling, tripling what they were in previous elections. And so the canard against young people that they don't turn out and vote or that they don't care, or they're apathetic, has been proven totally false.
Absolutely. I think here on campus for the February primary, we saw an uptick of over 40% young people staying in line. You know, they ran out of ballots at one point at the dorms. And so it is incredible to see that they know that their voices matter, that their voices need to be heard. And to be frank, I think the Republicans are threatened by the potential of young leadership and their voices, and I'm here for it.
Oh, I'm sure they are threatened because they know demographically they're losing. And those voters turned out, those young voters turned out in droves, not just in Madison, but there were huge lines up at UW-La Crosse, huge lines at UW-Eau Claire and other campuses around the state. And so my hat's off to all the young people who showed up and voted, to all the organizers who helped turn out that vote. And the vote was just astronomically in favor of Janet Protasiewicz. People didn't want, young people especially, didn't want Dan Kelly. People in Dane County especially didn't want Dan Kelly, and we all saw what a jerk he was the night of the election. What did you make of that speech?
What a coward. Honestly, I think, you know, there are many white men who are just not okay. And the way that he refused to concede and ran away really proves that candidate quality matters. And I think he let a lot of people down and he let himself down. But what was, again, most hopeful and really reignited my motivation for doing this work was that young folks knew that their voices mattered and that when abortion is on the ballot, when freedoms are on the ballot, when your ability to vote is questioned, and when there are folks, people are recognizing when you fight power, power fights you back. But regardless of how much money the Uhlines and other dark money donors tried to put in, it was people power that won in April, and we're going to continue to win. And I would like our caucus and other progressives across the state to keep acting like winners and to keep pounding it.
Yeah, you mentioned the Uhlines. Richard Uhline himself put in $4,075,000 directly into his PAC and then gave a lot of money to two other PACs that spent more than $2 million. So this guy spent $6 million to try to get Dan Kelly elected. And actually, he helped Dan Kelly win the primary. That's part of the problem of the Republican Party. They're in hock to Richard Uhline. And so whatever Richard Uhline wants, which is usually just an ultra, ultra right-wing candidate like Kelly or like Tim Michaels, you know, they let him decide. That's their problem. Let's solve our problems, though. And one of the things that I admire about what you're doing, Representative Hong, is you're, planting the flag, actually, for justice. You are a co-sponsor of a comprehensive bill called the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. Why don't you tell our listeners what that is?
Yeah, so the Economic Justice Bill of Rights is a framework that outlines what Democrats are fighting for, what we know to be how we will set a foundation for a prosperous Wisconsin that works for everyone and not the few wealthy and the corrupt who continue to drive power in this state. We know that we are powerful when we come together, and the Wisconsin Economic Bill of Rights outlines the freedoms that we know that every Wisconsinite has the right to: a job that provides dignity at work, adequately funded public education, unions, affordable and accessible health care. It's a set of 10 values that continue to drive our policy framework and then ensure, again, that the right to pursue liberation, happiness, and self-determination in life can be a policy framework that works for everyone.
You know it's not going to get adopted right away. Still, you push it. Tell me why that's important.
Because I think as Democrats, we often fall into this trap of not clearly stating what we are fighting for. And I think if we come together with our values, we know that regardless of if you live in an urban area or a rural area, regardless of your zip code and what your background is, there's way more that unites us than divides us. And so if we know we can come together on these values, we can collectively continue to push for policies that work for everyone. When it comes to recreation and participation in civic life, sometimes if we say democracy, it may not always feel like it's an attainable thing. The right to vote is for everyone. And so when we outline these 10 tenets and we say that these are the freedoms that we know can guarantee a more prosperous opportunity for all Wisconsinites, we can bring more people together, we can restore participation, and we can restore faith in democracy again, and to make sure Wisconsin is actually moving forward instead of being held hostage by Republicans in power.
I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing for Dom and Crude. I'm speaking with Representative Francesca Hong, who's a co-sponsor of the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. You mentioned that there's way more that unites us than divides us. And yet the Republicans nationally and here in Wisconsin are so into dividing us. We're seeing that on the assault on abortion rights. We're seeing it on the disgraceful attack on transgender rights. What do you make of that?
It's meant to distract and place blame instead of recognizes that they have had control of the legislature and they've lacked the political will to do good and improve the conditions of lives for people in our state. And so instead of distracting, Democrats are interested in working together to push for policies that we know Wisconsinites, the majority of Wisconsinites, want, including fully funding our public schools to strengthen our democracy. Public education is a cornerstone of democracy. We know that having more people understanding what civic rights that they have the right to participate, and that government should be working for them and that politicians should be governing. These are all things that are foundational to that come from having healthy public schools. We know that the majority of the state want affordable child care. They want access to housing and better health care. Instead, we're still sitting here on an island, one of 10 states that still have not expanded Medicare and better health care access for all people. And so again, instead of combating the issues of our time, talking about comprehensive gun reform and looking at making our community safer by investing in schools, by pushing for affordable child care, by ensuring our municipalities, our towns actually have the funds that they need from the state through shared revenue. Instead of having those debates and putting those policies forth, you know, we're sitting here today in the assembly. We discussed again the restrictions or use of sale of motor vehicle based on power source because they're convinced that somebody's going to take their gas away. That's not happening. Nobody is talking about that. What people are talking about is wanting affordable child care, wanting paid leave, making sure that, you know, people have not only opportunities to thrive, but that their rights are going to be protected and their freedoms are going to be protected.
Do you get anyone over there on the other side, on the Republican side in the assembly, ever either listening to you or being cordial to you, or are they rude?
You know, I had more conversations with my Republican colleagues today than my Democratic colleagues on the floor.
Why is that?
Try to make an effort to reach out to our friends across the aisle. I know many of us, you know, behind the scenes are having conversations where we know that these are issues our constituents actually want and are talking to representatives about. But I think that when you have a caucus that is more interested in cookie cutter bills from big conservative think tanks like ALEC that, you know, are trying to stoke fear and anger by saying we're somehow going to be more like California, Wisconsinites are not interested in that. Again, when it comes to policy, when it comes to government improving the conditions of lives and livelihoods, we should be debating things like affordable child care and fully funding our public schools. Republicans aren't rude. I just think right now as a caucus, they're more interested in sharing a message, deflecting and distracting the people of Wisconsin from the work that we can do together, especially with a $7.2 billion budget surplus.
I'm speaking with Francesca Hong. I'm Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Crudy and Dom on The Devil's Advocates in Civic Media. You mentioned ALEC. ALEC, of course, is the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is this national gathering of right-wing state legislators and corporate leaders who draft what they call model bills, right-wing pieces of legislation that they send back with their state legislature couriers back to their state houses. And this was the agenda that Scott Walker imposed on all of us from 2011 for 8 years. This is the Robin Voss agenda. Both of them, Walker and Voss, members of ALEC. And ALEC is funded by super rich right wingers. And that's why you've seen in state after state this cookie cutter right wing legislation that Representative Francesca Hong has been talking about now. How worried are you, Representative Hong, about the far right movement in this country?
I'm less worried because our young people are showing up and showing out. And the thing is, we have proven that organizing works, that people power works. I am incredibly heartened and encouraged by the election of Brandon Johnson in Chicago. I think when we come together firmly on our values and the freedoms that we want to protect, and that progressivism is unapologetic, but that it is powerful in the way that it can unite so many people who know that, you know, the right to bodily autonomy and the right to an abortion, the right to vote, the freedom to choose your health care and where you want to live and thrive. These are the sort of tenets and American values that are uniting us. And yet Republicans can continue to be more interested in banning books. They seem to be more interested in dividing us and attacking folks in the trans community. They continue to look for problems where they don't exist instead of solving the ones that they have created. That's why their strategy has always been to distract and to stoke anger and fear. But I know that there are more Wisconsinites, that there are more Americans that are above this anger and fear, and the power of the people will continue to prevail. We've won these statewide elections. Once we don't have these rigged maps, I can guarantee you that we're going to continue to organize and we are going to continue to win.
Oh, that's a vision that we need to carry forward. We'll be right back on Devil's Advocate.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you. I'm the executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, subbing in here for Dom and Crudy on this beautiful, sunny, blue sky afternoon in the great state of Wisconsin. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates on civic media all across the state on all our stations of civic media. I want to thank Representative Hong for that inspiring guest appearance here. I also want to thank Senator Melissa Agart, the minority leader in the Senate, who represents majority views, and also Senator Chris Larson, who is a champion of campaign finance reform. I want to thank Evan, our engineer, who's been holding my hand throughout the last couple hours. Listen, we got about 10 minutes left, and I want to hear from you. If you're in your kitchen, or if you're in your office, or if you're at a stoplight and have time safely to dial 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can call about anything, but I'm really interested in the big news of the day and what your view is of the news. That is the Fox News settlement with Dominion Voting Systems for a crisp $787,500,000. What do you make of that settlement? Was it a good settlement? Was it a fair settlement? Was it a bad settlement? Give me a holler, 844-967-2789. I think we got someone on the line now. Evan, if you want to put them through, we'll see what Annie has to say. Annie, you're on the air.
Well, you know, this isn't a real big victory. It sort of allows them to call victory like Donald Trump always did when he, you know, have to settle on something. Him and Roy Cohn would be out there going, "We won," you know, instead of admitting that they had to settle at a great loss. But so now Dominion acted, I think, as any corporate, I guess, would. I mean, they're just looking out for themselves. But hopefully they'll have the money to go after the liars. You know, the individuals, perhaps now they'll have used this money to do that. And there's not enough public embarrassment. Fox didn't get enough public embarrassment.
Yep.
They would have gotten...
Well, I totally agree with you, Annie. That's Annie from Watertown, and thanks for calling. They didn't get enough public embarrassment on the settlement. I don't think they got enough money taken out of their hide either. But you're right, Annie, in that it's not the end of the day. I'm reading now from the New York Times. Dominion may have settled the suit, but its legal pursuits are far from over. The company still has defamation suits related to allegations of election fraud pending against Fox competitors Newsmax and OAN, as well against MyPillow chief Mike Lindell and Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, among others. So they need to get some comeuppance, too. We need accountability for their lies. We've got a couple other callers, including Rico. Rico, you're on the air. Rico, what's on your mind?
Hey, I kind of share your and Jeannie's sentiments on the whole Dominion thing there. I was rather disappointed in that. But the one thing that I'm going to take solace in this, Matt, is the fact that we can trust now that Dominion and Smartmatic, they've been vetted, re-vetted, drugged through investigations, turned upside down, twisted every which way but loose, and somehow they won on this. Because I don't even want to think about who the next guy up to the plate that was going to sell us a voting machine when these two had been discredited.
Right. I mean, they
and
are
the great spot.
Yeah, they are lawsuit proof right now, Rico. And thanks for that call. You're absolutely right about that. We got Pizza Box Mike, an old friend of mine and a friend of Civic Media, on the line. Mike, Pizza Box, talk to me.
It's the Progressive Birdman. Matt, nice to hear you today.
I'll settle for that name.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I it's good that you put your posts up, even and some of the pictures, because I see a lot of these birds, but I don't know how to identify them. But thanks to you, I've learned how to identify a lot of things in life.
Yeah, Mike's talking about my Facebook page where I post bird pictures, because I've been a bird watcher since I was 4, and I'm going to be 65 soon.
Well, my older cousins in Lacrosse still call me Blue Jay, if that gives you any idea of what my connection to birds.
Well, you must be aggressive, Mike, because Blue Jays are aggressive.
Right? Yeah, oh, yeah. They were throwing breadcrumbs, and I was down there just hammering them. Yeah, so anyway, one of these days, maybe you can come on my show on Friday night, 7 to 8.
Oh, I'd love to. If I'm not socializing Friday night, let's do it. I always like talking with you, Mike.
Yeah, nice to hear you on the radio today. Thanks. Thanks,
my friend. We've got Jake, who's been waiting for a little bit. Jake, what's on your mind?
You know, my only problem with this $800 million settlement that Fox has to pay is that Rupert Murdoch didn't have to get deported back to Australia, where Crocodile Dundee belongs. I mean, I guess California could take the blame for the Fox Corporation, but no, Australia needs to take the blame for Mr. Rupert Murdoch. Complete fascist, completely corrupt, total liar. The only guy who's a bigger liar than Rupert Murdoch on the planet is Donald Trump.
Yeah, and they both need to be held accountable, Jake. Thanks so much for the call. That's Jake from Eureka. I always like it when Jake calls. And Jake's absolutely right. Under the terms of the settlement, Fox News will not have to apologize or admit to spreading false claims on network programming. None of their hosts, you won't see it out of Tucker's little weasley mouth tonight, that Fox had to admit that they were had been lying. And so there isn't, to my mind, this is not a great settlement. It's not it may be a good settlement for Dominion, getting $787,500,000. But it's not a good settlement for us. It's not a good settlement for our democracy. We can't have a network that continually and blatantly and consciously lies to the American people and foments some of the ugliest kinds of conspiracy theories, undermines the legitimacy of a fairly elected president of the United States, and then carries on for months and years with the lie. And so while today Fox is $787,500,000 poorer, it's probably richer than it would have been if this trial went forward, because every day of the trial would have been losing money and stock would have been plummeting as you put these jokers on the stand and grill them about the lies that they told to all the Fox viewers. And the amount of liability that they were facing from a jury of their peers, or I don't know if anyone is a peer of Rupert Murdoch and Tucker Carlson, but an American jury anyway, was a lot higher than $787,500,000. So Fox skates away, a little bit poorer, but, you know, could have been a lot worse for Fox News. Should have been a lot worse for Fox News. And we need to make sure in the days and weeks ahead that there is more accountability. More accountability for the liars, more accountability for the false electors, including the false electors here in Wisconsin, and especially more accountability for Donald Trump, who led the conspiracy to overthrow a duly elected president, engaged in seditious conspiracy and blatant election tampering. Just give me all those 11,870,000 votes. Why can't we get an indictment on that? That indictment leads to a conviction, sure as we're sitting here. You and me, Evan. And thank you, Evan, for help me out through these last 2 hours.
Anytime, anytime. You know, we're going to do it, and yeah. We're going to do it together.
And thanks to my guests, Rep Hong, Senator Agard, Senator Larson, and thanks to all the great callers who always call the Devil's Advocates and Civic Media. It's a terrific show. It's a terrific network. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Wisconsin afternoon. I'm Matt Rothschild, signing off.
I just want to find 11,780